I didn't have it on in the first place, so it didn't matter. Thank you so very much. That was a very gracious introduction. I really sincerely appreciate that. And I sincerely appreciate the opportunity to come and visit you folks today and share with you about a thing that's called My Library. I think you're supposed to say how many Access conferences you've been to. I think this is number 4 for me. And it's very nice to be here. Thank you very much. What I really want to share is that My Library, on one hand, is a Perl module that does I/O against a specifically shaped relational database. Glazed eyes. And on the other hand, I want to say that My Library is really about creating relationships. And I want to try to emphasize, I think it's an interesting idea, that we can go beyond cataloging resources, and we can go beyond thinking of them only in terms of subjects and formats, but there's lots of other ways you can catalog resources. But not only can you catalog resources, but I also advocate cataloging people. And if you do this, you can end up creating really cool relationships and increasingly provide the sorts of services that people are expecting out of libraries. So that's the deal. And if you don't hear anything else, that's the whole talk right then and there. So you can leave if you want to. You know it all now. Okay. My Library. As you may or may not know, this is a toy that I've been playing with for about 10 years. I first created this thing about 10 years ago when all this My Netscape and My Yahoo was coming out. And I thought, well, why couldn't we have a My Library? And so I wrote a computer program that would make that happen, and it became kind of sort of popular, and I gave a whole pile of talks and went hither, yither, and yon. And now it's kind of fun because the word My Library is really becoming a part of our vernacular. And I see lots of companies having My Library somewhere in there. There's My iLibrary, and then there was the At Your Library that ALA took up. There's a whole pile of these My things, and that's kind of fun to see. But that particular thing, a long time ago, was essentially a turnkey application that you downloaded this Perl module and you installed it, and you can do a little bit of customization, and you can make a My page. And there were all sorts of problems with it. It did what it's supposed to do, but it wasn't really very easy. And ironically, you can still see some of these My Library implementations across the world. I could do a Google search, and I could pull you up a couple of these things. I don't know how well they're maintained, but they exist, and that's kind of satisfying. Well, since then, we mentioned Dan Chutnoff before. I'll mention him again. He goes, My Library, you guys have a module that's like 43K big. Whoever writes modules that big? And he's true. When it comes to Perl modules, they're supposed to be small little snippet things. And we did not really write My Library very well. So now, My Library, it's been in existence in this current form for about 4 or 5 years now. So this isn't breaking news. But it is now a set of object-oriented Perl modules that do I/O against a relational database. And so it has lots of little snippets. And essentially, My Library is made up of 4 things. So let's see here. I'll show a little picture. My Library is made up of 4 things. It's made up of information resources, it's made up of patrons, it's made up of librarians, and it's made up of facets and terms. And the idea is that you create these things in your library. These are the things I see that are in libraries. These 3 things, these resources, these patrons, these librarians. And what My Library allows you to do is create information resources. And the way they're created, they are essentially your Dublin Core-esque title. Title, creator, link, description, relation. There's a few other sorts of legacy things in there. But you have information resources that we describe. Okay, you got a pile of those. Libraries love lists. And so you put your lists of stuff into this resources pile. But libraries also contain librarians. And so we have a librarians pile. And so in there we have their names and their addresses and their telephone numbers and their descriptions. And we also have patrons. And they have names and addresses and telephone numbers and URLs and all this sort of stuff. You can gather these things. Like, for example, we have taken, in one demo exercise, we have downloaded, taken the stuff that feeds our circulation system. We have names, addresses, telephone numbers, that sort of stuff. And we've stuffed that into all the patrons, into my library. Okay? But we also know about these patrons. We know that they're a freshman, or they're a sophomore, or they're a senior. We know that they're taking this major, or that major, or the other major. Now keep that in mind. Now when you have resources, we like to say we have a title and a location and a description. Then we like to catalog the thing. We like to classify the thing. Big quiz. What are one ways that we like to classify things?
Material type,
very good. That's perfect. Thank you. You get your $5 after the show. Okay, so at the top, that's the beginnings of what we call facets and terms. Now, I was told early on, don't call your stuff doing facets, Eric, because, oh, they'll get on your case and say that you can't do facets. And that was 4 years ago. And now, facets is all the big deal. Okay? But material type is a facet in our scheme. Facet. And then what kinds of material types are there? Let's suppose that you're talking physical types of stuff. So you could have books, you can have journals, you can have articles, you can have sounds, you can have pictures, you can have data sets, that sort of stuff. Think of facets, material type, term, book. Okay? And so when I have a resource, I can say this is its title, this is its URL, this is its description, and facet, term, format, book. All right? But I can also make another facet term combination, and I'll call it subjects. We love subjects. Okay? And I can have facet, subjects, term, forestry. And then I can have that same resource, and I can say its title, its URL, description, format, book, subject, forestry. Okay? Now here's another one. Here's another facet. Research tools. You can make up these facets in your library thing. You can make up as many as you want to. But we made one called research tools. What kinds of research tools are there? Dictionaries, great. Encyclopedias, indexes, thesauri, catalogs, manuals, handbooks. All these types of research tools. Okay, so if I've got something like the Encyclopedia of Forestry, I can then say Encyclopedia of Forestry, URL, title, facet, term, subject, forestry, formats, books, research tool, encyclopedia. Okay? Now, and so that's really cool for the resources. And you can make up a million and one of these facet term combinations. What I'm advocating is that we use that same sort of thing to begin to classify the librarians and the patrons. The librarians often deal with particular subject areas, okay? And if you put the librarians into the system and catalog them with these subject forestry types of things, and then you catalog resources as subject forestry, then the librarian knows these are the resources that I curate, okay? And then if I have a student or a faculty member who lives in the patron part of the thing, and I know that they are a forestry student, I can then classify them as subject forestry. And then the librarian can say, my patrons are. The patron can say, my resources are. So we can classify, my library allows you to do this sort of thing. You create piles of information about resources, you create piles of information about librarians, you create piles of information about patrons, and then you use this facet term combination thing to make relationships between that. We have taken this particular model and made lots of different types of tools, lots of different digital library applications with this particular model. Let's see if I can show you a couple. Famous last words, right? Okay, here's a simple one. Here's a simple page. We have created in our My Library database. I'm going to try to make this a little bit bigger. Zoom what? In? Zoom in. So we have piles of resources that are in our system. We have them. Some of them are cataloged in our catalog. We dump those things on a regular basis, and then we pour them on into My Library. And then we write a report that creates piles of pages. These are all the research tools that we have. We have the same sort of thing when it comes to subjects. Where's that page? So I can create these sorts of pages rather easily. So here's all of our subjects that we have in this particular example. And then I know I can count how many there are. And if I select this particular one, this anthropology subject is going to come back and bring back all the resources that are classified as anthropology. Make that small. Okay, that's a trivial example, doing your website. Okay, but because My Library is a toolbox and not an application, there's a lot more sorts of flexibility that can go on. And that's another very important idea, that you want to build a toolbox type of thing, as opposed to a program. Oftentimes, programs do just one thing, and they might do it well. But if you create a toolbox type of approach, you can do lots of different things. One of the ones that I kind of like the best is this thing called Reading List. Here, what I did is I know that the Directory of Open Access Journals exists. We all know the Directory of Open Access Journals, okay? And I know that they have an OAI interface to their content. I can write now a computer program that goes and harvests all of the OAI access, all the DOA journals. Well, wait a minute. As I get a thing coming in, I can automatically create a facet term combination called formats journals, okay? They've divided up their content into sets. They have sets like forestry and agriculture and philosophy and religion and history and engineering. Well, that sounds like subjects. And so I created a facet term combination called subjects, and then I used their set names as the term names. And I was able to suck all this stuff in via OAI and then put it into My Library and then create this sort of page. Now, this sort of page takes all of their subjects, says how many there are, and creates a little browsable list. So here's all of the chemistry chemistry journals that they've got in their collection. But what's really kind of fun is that I can create this, I can create a My page out of this sort of thing. So I can say that I want to do an add. I want to add this to my reading list. And I think it's going to, whenever you do a computer demonstration, something goes wrong. It says you need to authenticate first. Okay, well, I'm going to sign in. And I'm just going to pretend I'm Plato. I've created canned people. Okay, I'm successfully logged in now. But now if I go home and I end up at the chemistry list, and I want to add this particular journal to my pile, it says, thank you very much. Great. And I can add a pile of these things to my pile. Oops, that's going to go to the journal itself. Don't want to do that. I'm going to add another one. And now I have that. And now I have my own particular reading list. Plato has created a reading list. I have created relationships between me as a particular person and the resources that are in this particular pile. And using this My Library thing, I have been able to do this. I'm not so much touting My Library as much as am I touting the idea of facets and terms and creating relationships and having a toolbox approach to making this sort of stuff happen. I have like 5 or 10 minutes. Just close, cancel, go away. Erg Windows. Let's see, here's another one, okay? I created a Facebook widget with this sort of thing. So I'll log in as me. Okay, here's my page. Okay, and I create a little Facebook widget. And with Facebook, you have an ID. You have a unique identifier. Okay, well, that's a patron type of thing in my library. And I also have resources. So I create an interface to this. So I do my library here. And it knows that my particular Facebook ID is associated with a set of information resources. I have to make this much bigger so anyone can see. Hey, look at that. Control plus plus. Okay, but what's interesting is that I can then change my profile. I'm not care about those resources. I want these particular things. And it will change and remember those particular resources for me. And so then if I go back to my home page, somewhere they've moved all this stuff into boxes, right? I think I'll find my application in the boxes section. La da da da. Boxes. And now I've got this little widget here that has the resources that are all, that I've selected before. It's not so much that I advocate a Facebook thing, but the idea here is that if you have a toolbox and not an application, you'll be able to syndicate your stuff from hither, yither, and yon. This is just an example of that sort of technique. Oh, make that small. Can I make that really small? What's another one? Here's one that's kind of fun. Our facts. We created a fact. Where's my fact? Here it is. In this particular case, we have a library fact type of thing. And in this particular case, the resources were the question and the answer. In this particular case, we put the question of our fact as the name of a resource. And we put the answer to the fact in the description. And then we cataloged, we created up a sets of facets and terms that were commonly used categories, and we cataloged all the questions this way, and then we were end up to create a browsable list of all our sorts of things. So in this particular case, general information is a facet, and hours, directory, employment are terms. In this particular case, research skills is a facet, and tutorials, subject guides, and how do I are terms that we've cataloged our resources in this particular way. Another example. That's all this is driven with my library. Let's see if I have another one. Formats, guides, Facebook, ER diagram, research tools. That's pretty much it. Let's see now where I want to go from here. Couple of things. My library is, again, it's a specific toolbox, and it's not supposed to do everything. It's really supposed to just manage these three piles of stuff, resources, people, patrons, and librarians through these facets and terms. It does not support search. It does not support OAI. I brought in OAI because I did the toolbox approach, but it doesn't support search. So what I do, for example, is to support search because databases stink at search. Indexes are great at search. And so what I do is we can write reports against my library and stick it out to our favorite indexer, and then that provides a search engine. So that's, for example, what I've done with my Alex catalog of electronic texts. I think that's on here. In this particular case, I downloaded piles and piles of electronic texts. I then got, mostly of them come from Gutenberg. I then got an RDF file from Project Gutenberg, read the RDF file, and created facets and terms inside my library database. I then created really rudimentary RDF file describing each book, and I stuffed the entire book into the description of the resource. And then I wrote reports against the entire thing to create browsable lists. So now I can browse by author, and I get this A to Z type of thing sooner or later. Or I could browse by title, or to provide search, I dump all of my records out to the file system, and I use an indexer that I think is most appropriate for the tool. So here, again, I create a report against my database. And I can do the same sort of thing by title. So my library is a toolbox. My library is creating relationships. My library as using facets and terms to describe things and using facets and terms that are go beyond subjects. And they go beyond formats. They could be audiences. That's one of the biggest things I advocate. Catalog your resources by audience. And that way you can say, I'm like this. Show me the things that are like that. I think that's extraordinarily powerful. All right, I'm really close. We've been doing this particular thing and using this particular application for about 5 years. Sometimes I feel like I have a hammer and everything looks like a nail, and some of my coworkers have to say, no, it don't really won't work that way. That's sometimes I have to keep that in mind. As an open source software project, it's not extraordinarily successful because there's not an extraordinarily amount of developers. And I can blame that on a number of things. A strong open source software has a community around it. And I don't think that I've been extraordinarily very good at building that particular community. I think another challenge with this is that it has a Perl API. And while Perl was really hot to trot 10 years ago, there is a plethora, right, of words of different programming languages now. And people come up to me and say, well, that I don't write in Perl. I write in PHP. Can you rewrite the whole module so it does PHP? Oh, Java is the way to go. Can you rewrite the whole thing so it does it in Java? And so really I think what we're going to do in future directions is we're going to make a web services interface to this thing. And I think that really what we're going to do is we're going to probably put some sort of Atom interface on top of it where all that good stuff that we've already written will be underneath. Yes, we are probably going to do some Java things simply because of performance issues. But most importantly, we're going to provide some sort of RESTful web service on top of it so that you can send it a URL or a GET request, and you will get back either some JSON or some Atom feed or some sort of XML, and then you can do whatever it is that you want to with it. And it won't be just search. It will also like be insert record all through some sort of Atom interface. And this way, no one can come back to me and say, well, could you rewrite it in Ruby or COBOL? No, here, just write it in, just do your web interfaces sort of thing. So my time is up. I said I would only go for a half hour. And that's more or less, mostly more, what I want to share. Thank you very much.